All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, the podcast where we usually interview creative people who have moved to a different country and try to make a living in their respective fields. But for those who know me or this show, currently I'm back home. I'm in New Orleans, obviously. I'm here with Josh. And the way that the show usually works is that I try to interview people from different parts of the world, but now I want to fart.
Come on, do it.
Now I want to fart. Right now I want to interview, focus on the artsy-fartsy part and less on the immigrant part. So I'm
artsy-fartsy part.
On the artsy-fartsy part. So I'm going to, I've been interviewing a few friends, started with the Matthew Martinez episode. He's an actor from here. And now I'm lucky today to be here with the one and only Have a Great Day guy. As a lot of you know him, Josh Starkman. So, Josh, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for being here.
Namaste, yogis. Welcome to class.
Man, I'm really happy to be able to be here with you today. Like, we never really did this before. I never tried to do it over Zoom or anything with you yet. I think I was always giving myself this limitation that, like,
it's better this way.
It's better this way.
I can touch you.
Yeah, that's right. And you have been
a lot. It's been a great trip.
But dude, so like for those who don't know, like people are joining now. So you had this, you have this kind of cult thing that's blown up, man, sure. With Have a Great Day. Let's start from the very beginning. So it's like, it's pre-COVID. So for those who don't know, the Instagram handle is at Joshua Starkman. You created this entity, this Have a Great Day guy. How would you describe this guy? How different is he from the one that I know behind the scenes? And what inspired the drive that you've put into it over the past couple of years?
Right. So the Have a Great Day guy is just a facet of my personality that I bring out when I am performing with musicians or the camera's on or I'm entertaining intentionally for people. And basically, I make videos with musicians from here in New Orleans and other places when I travel, but I spend most of my time here in New Orleans. And the idea is to really put a spotlight on not just my playing, I'm a guitarist and a vocalist, but put a spotlight also on the almost infinite musicians here, and also make it more about community instead of just like this idea of what professionals are, or this sort of like selling you this idea of music or a package sort of thing. Because for me, music is much bigger than business. It's a human thing. It's like cooking. It's like, what, for example, when I teach and I tell people, or people tell me, oh, I used to play back in when I was a kid, but I had a bad teacher and I stopped. And I said, look, you like, if you know how to cook at least something, it's not like you forget how to cook.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's right. The music's still there, the cooking's still there, the food's still there. These are very human things that are just like super important. But how I started doing these videos is I got a divorce.
All right.
Yeah, sick, bro. And in a way, it was a very transformative period. 2018, that's when that happened. And I started right before.
Was it that long ago already?
Yeah, when things were sort of on the rocks and going towards their fated end. And I was just looking for something to do with friends, take my mind off of the suffering in ways, but also engage with people and really tap into myself. Because a lot of times in relationships, whether they're with friends or family or lovers or wives or girlfriends or boyfriends or they, them, whatever, you can really give away a bit too much energy and focus and not really delve into what do I have to give as an artist and also to my community, you know.
Do you mean like relationships sometimes block the energy that you would put into creativity?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
But also conversely, relationships can also help
like feed
make your life better.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I'm
yeah.
sure in many ways, you know, your partner has really helped, you know.
Totally. Yeah. And so I would ask, like, so you, the very first Have a Great Day video that you made, was that post-divorce? That was the very first one. Was it already after that or before?
No, it was before. It was
when things were kind of
were rough. It was just rough and would only get rougher. And it was actually a sort of sarcastic video of me. I didn't know how to use a camera stand, so I had it placed like on some books on a desk.
Right. And I still
it was
do
like
that sometimes.
Looking. It was like the camera's like angled up at me, and I'm just smiling like. Like, not even open mouth. Just
I was going to say, like, because it's really grown into something, like, universal now, something really recognized now. Yeah,
and I was being sarcastic, pretty much, because I have a sort of, like, dark humor side to me. I have a sarcastic side to me.
Sure, yeah.
But I just said, have a great day. Just kind of, like, beat up and worn out.
Because now that makes a lot of sense but now.
It became sort of a mantra in a way where I just thought, okay, I haven't really given this social media thing a crack or a shot. But I had learned about the principles of social media by doing social media for my band that I was in, Nebula Rosa.
Right.
Because I learned how to do that because someone had to run the account. So I actually took lessons with, I don't know if you remember Eli, who was working with Bubble Bath Records at the time.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and he was also a social media manager type in his own private practice. So I took one-on-one lessons with him, and I learned all about how to, like, hashtag and really think about what you're posting.
Yeah.
And I just took it from there and with my own personal account, and I just started posting almost every day. And then after a few posts, I had some really old friends, or one old friend in particular, my friend Jacob, who I can't tell if he was being sarcastic, said, you should do this every day.
They said that?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Just being silly.
What an inspiration already.
Right. And I started doing the videos by myself, and I just started thinking, like, let's be silly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a silly person. There's such a silly side of me, like when I'm on gigs and stuff.
Right.
But I it's interesting because I never really let it out. I went to school, I went to Florida State, and then I came here to University of New Orleans for my master's degree.
Yeah.
So very, like, straight and narrow jazz education. Like, you know, button the top button. It's, you know, with a capital J.
Jazz with a capital J.
You know, and then as I've gone, you know, as I've gotten older, it's like, you know, jazz with a lower J, and the A is a uppercase, and then it's all in Comic Sans, which I recently, for some reason, thought of the term Cosmic Sans,
Cosmic
kind of blew
Sans,
my mind.
Which probably is a band from Milwaukee.
Yeah, right. That's great.
Cosmic Sans.
Come on down to the bar and see Cosmic Sans
tonight. Going down to Huey's. No, covers $5.
I was just thinking of this, like, ironic hipster bar called The Bar.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, right. Very plain.
But cover's still fine.
It's the Midwest.
You still can't get in.
Yeah, yeah.
And no drinking on the street.
Right, exactly. What were we talking about? So.
No, but you were talking about how jazz, when you first moved to New Orleans, was like with the suit and tie and very serious.
Yeah, and that was kind of coming out of school. But you live here in New Orleans and people were very laid back. Even the way that we play jazz. And as I've gotten older, I put jazz, you can't see this on the podcast, but I put in the little air quotes. Because for me, it's not so much the word jazz, but more specific to the place. It's New Orleans music. And New Orleans music is like a tree with many branches. You can't just call one branch jazz and forget that there's also funk music and R&B music. There's metal from here.
Right.
There's all kinds of music. It is a root of music from the United States.
Right.
But it's also obviously connected to other places in the world because the Europeans are the people who settled here and blended and created the music that we love.
Right.
And as time still continues, people from other places come here.
Yeah.
But I started tapping into just a more of a sense of humor. I grew up with a lot of guys now that work in comic music.
I was going to say, like, you know, you have this particular style of humor and this, like, normally when we joke about things, it's very fast. Like, I would say you have a very, I thought of it earlier and I thought it sounded kind of oxymoronical, but, like, is that a word? Oxymoronic?
Yeah, it's
oxymoronic. But that you have a serious comic timing, a seriously good comic timing.
Thanks.
Which I wondered if you had like a very funny family member or if you had, comedians, because the standard saying is that comedians wanted to be musicians and musicians wanted to be comedians.
Right.
So, like, is there people that you aspire to where you're like, oh, if I wasn't doing music,
I mean, I...
Like, what is that? Where's your humor, you know, stem from?
I grew up in a Jewish family.
All right, guys, that was the show. Right. Thank you
Have
so much
night,
for
Germany.
Watching.
We'll see you later.
Thanks a lot. Just a reminder to those listening to this show, right now as we're recording this, we are live on my TikTok at Jordan Prince Official, and we are live on Josh's Instagram at Joshua Starkman.
Yeah.
So, you know, you missed it if you're listening to it now.
And TikTok is at Joshua Starkman as well.
That's right. Yeah. If you're listening to this, then you might have missed the live, but we're visually very attractive people.
All right. Good night. See you later.
Good night, guys. Bye-bye.
No, but seriously, there's something about that culture. My mom is from South Carolina, which is more actually like your people.
Yeah, my people.
Your people are sort of my canceled. People. But canceled. I'm canceled, right? What do you mean your people? But my mind does work kind of a million miles a minute, sort of undiagnosed ADD of sorts. Montessori kid, yeah. Youngest child, was told to shut up but wouldn't shut up kind of thing.
I think we might have both been class clowns.
My parents
to be
never
fair.
Hit me. I don't know.
Oh, my parents hit me.
Oh, but I mean, you're so like, funny.
Not, they didn't beat the comedy out of you yet.
Yeah. So, I don't know. My dad's a funny guy. I have definitely funny relatives. I have some, like, very, like, lawyer type. I have literally lawyers in my family.
I mean, Josh, let's be honest. I'd be very surprised if you had no lawyers in your family.
Canceled. Oh, there it is. Good night, everybody. Yeah, there's still, like, a sort of sense of humor amongst... American Jews in their way, and perhaps Jews in other places. I can't really speak on it so much. Comes from the suffering. You know what I mean?
Right. It comes from all of
But there's humor in all cultures.
I'm a little behind. What's suffering? No, I'm kidding.
What is suffering? You ever been to McDonald's and the shake machine is broken?
That's suffering. Unapologetic suffering.
Yeah.
No, but you have a lot of lawyers in your family, and they made you funny.
Even they're funny. They have like a snarky thing. Also, just a bunch of funny. I mean, where I grew up in Miami, not just Jewish culture, but Latin American culture. I mean, I had neighbors that were Koreans. I had neighbors that were from all kinds of different places.
Yeah.
And I don't know. People were kind of fast talking and fast witted in South Florida, I find. And it could, because it is a place.
Do you think that's part of the culture there?
It's more northern, but also coming from Latin American culture. So
that makes sense.
You don't have the slower kind of thing in more rural parts of the South, so to speak.
Right. Or even here, where my parents and my brother are from, like
Jeff Foxworthy.
Or Jeff Foxworthy style, who just came out with a new special, by the way. Ooh. I didn't know he was back on the circuit.
I'm gonna watch that tonight.
Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
Let's
round
go,
six.
Baby.
Here we go. No, but like my family has this. They're very drawn to their roots. My mom's from, actually both my parents are from Mississippi. It's where I grew up, like around Iuka, Mississippi. Uh-huh. And it is definitely a different vibe from the one you're describing in Florida. And I was always very curious about different parts of the South. You know, you have obviously in the South you have some major localized centralized cities and areas.
Atlanta, like, and Houston are gigantic.
Dude, Atlanta, Austin, Houston,
Dallas.
I mean, yeah. Miami, it's a whole different world.
But Miami's at the very tip of America's penis. So
it's all the way down.
So it actually becomes less southern the more south you get.
That's really interesting.
It becomes more Caribbean. I grew up, the first neighborhood I grew up in, we were the only white family. It was a Caribbean neighborhood.
That's really interesting.
Which makes me think, like, I've met kids that grew up in New York. My dad's from New York originally, but kids that grew up in, like, Queens, and they, like, grew up around all kinds of different people.
Right,
but that's what South Florida's like. It's this very multicultural hub. A lot of big cities are like that, though. You go to Houston, they have huge communities of people from different places that aren't the United States originally.
Yeah.
Just big cities in general. But Miami is definitely special.
Dude, do you have any like particular stories from growing up in that region where you felt not like, I don't want to say like as an outcast, but like you realized you were kind of maybe different there, like an interaction or an encounter where you're like, ooh.
So what was interesting, the first sort of 10 years that I grew up in Miami, we were in a neighborhood that was changing. Like we white flighted, so to speak, to the suburbs because there was more crime in our neighborhood. My dad's car got jacked and they tried to break in, and mm-hmm. you know, his career was developing, so he was able to like take out a mortgage and get a house in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. In that neighborhood, my mom was real particular about what schools I went to. So I went to a school that had a Montessori or magnet program, I forget which. And there was only like one time. Like, there was one kid that was like, I don't want to play basketball with you because you're white.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. It gets that way. Wow. But, you know, as I get older.
I mean, I believe it. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm not, you know, come on, look at the NBA. Like, there aren't guys that look like me in the NBA often. Then maybe they're from, like Lithuania or something.
And, yeah, exactly. They're Polish and they're super good.
And then also, as I've grown up and learned history, in like actual history, not like the sort of history that Republicans in this country talk about not being taught.
Hot topic.
I read like Howard Zinn, I actually read history. I understand completely why a black kid would say that.
I mean,
it's like fair.
100%.
You get a pass.
Of course, yeah. I'm sure at 13 you did say that. You're like, I completely understand.
Oh, I was
sir.
Like eight. I cried on the bus. I remember that. Oh, it was sad. It was
as
sad.
As a kid, yeah, as a kid,
as a child, you don't understand. I don't even know if I understood what slavery was at the time or anything like that.
No, but it also an interaction where someone says like, "No, you can't." Yeah. You're just like, "But
right,
why?"
Totally exclusion. You know, discrimination is discrimination. Racism is different, though.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, that's not racism in that particular situation. That's discrimination. He's discriminating me, but it's not racism because the power structure is not.
But even if he was a white kid, just a kid saying like, "No, you can't."
Yeah, no,
just breaks your heart when you're 8 years old.
Yeah, totally.
You're like, "But I'm cool. I promise."
So I went to that school, and then when we moved to the suburbs, it was more white, but it was more like Latino as well. It was a bit more Jewish too. So by the time I was in high school, like half my high school was Latino, and then the big chunk of it was Jewish kids, and a lot of the Latino kids had moved to the United States when they were young, mm-hmm. so they were pretty assimilated. Okay. But their parents were like, the English was pretty good,
yeah.
but not like perfect fluent. But yeah. a lot of them were more affluent, like their parents were engineers or worked for computer companies or this, that, the other.
And what did your parents do again?
My dad's a chiropractor. My mom was a midwife for 30 years.
Wow, what a interesting combo.
So it's like
combo.
Very new agey.
They were really new agey.
So and that they really influenced the way I look at music too. Is like music is a healing thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they have always
been healers.
Been healers, yeah.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
Did like their belief on other things influence the way you think about other things now? Like not just music, but like how did being raised by these healers, the spiritual type, like influence other things
for you?
Like politically or socially or emotionally?
Yeah, well, my parents were very... My mom's from the South and was raised during segregation, as I'm sure your parents were.
Sure.
But she always made a point of never, like, nothing discriminatory. Like, being very, like, going out of her way to explain the opposite of...
To you.
Yeah. Just, like, explaining that she was from the South and things like that. And always just getting along. I mean, I would hang out with the Jamaican kids when I was really young, or the Trinidadian kids, or the...
Brag?
Or whatever. What?
Brag?
I'm bragging. I had cool black friends.
God, canceled. What a flex, Josh.
It's over.
Sorry, guys. I think our phones are on fire.
Yeah. Cancel. Twitter. But
I'm so glad that Twitter is absolutely a void of nothingness for me. Like, I have minus followers there.
Yeah, it's perfect. You want it that
I have
way.
Nothing on that.
So... Yeah, I mean, very, and the county that I grew up in, too, is, like, one of the most liberal counties in Florida. Actually, it was one of the contested counties during the Gore-Bush election.
Mm.
So that was big. I saw John Kerry when he ran for president. Anyway, so,
wow, okay.
Yeah, my brother's cool. Gay.
I was going to ask about your siblings. Yeah,
my brother's gay.
That was something we had in common. That's right, we had gay brothers.
Sure. And it's interesting because the time he grew up in, like, everyone pretty much knew he was gay, but it was still kind of tough for him to come out because of, like, school and everything like that.
Sure.
But, I mean, I'm very – I hate to use the word liberal and conservative because the politicians that embody those terms are Coca-Cola and Pepsi. And they both use corn syrup, you know, so
– that's a good way to put it.
But in the way I look at life is just, like, people are – as long as someone's not harming another person emotionally or physically – we're all good, baby.
Right.
You know, live your life. Like, it's fine. Like, the expression of humans... I don't know why I slurred that. human expression is a beautiful thing, and it's only more beautiful when there's more types of it.
That's actually a really beautiful way to put that.
Yeah. As long as it's not harming anyone, right?
Right, exactly. Right. So I wanted to ask... I put this down earlier, so we talked about it a little bit off mic, but... So we've talked a lot about... before you and me as friends, like about what we do, because what we do is the same but so different in a way. Like, I've kind of luckily, like through literally through chance, because I didn't know that's what anyone wanted to see, but through chance, built this kind of like little following, primarily only on TikTok through making these niche. Right. Jokes and videos about German words and German expressions and living abroad and living in Germany as an American and like really, really hashing in on that niche alone. And you have really done that, like, but like the same work and harder work, but with a totally different niche on Instagram and through Facebook and other things, mm-hmm. like building this huge audience out of, like you said, like making people happy and sharing joy and sharing music and
right.
making this raw community vibe and stuff to have a great day. Would you say that in this niche, because I know I have like three or four people that do the same thing mm-hmm. that I do, but sometimes a lot better, sometimes about the same. Do you say, do you have competitors in your niche as well that you look at their stuff and go like, oh, they did that well, or I could do that better, or...
No, not really. I mean, because what I'm doing is I'm...
He's too good.
As a performer... Yeah, I'm too good. too good. As a performer, I'm inserting myself in something that is also like a documentation of a time and a place with people, you know, because of the cultural element, the societal element. The times that I've seen other channels on whatever, whether it's YouTube or Instagram or Facebook, and they have... you know, ensembles of musicians that are rotating and representative of musical culture.
Right.
It's very along the lines of professional music.
Right.
You know, it's very
a
much...
a polished image
yeah,
of music.
Yeah. I'm not polished at all. It's very touch and go, very, what do you want to play? You know,
right.
in a way that is very New Orleans, but I musicians everywhere can just tap into that feeling and that sense of like not having to be premeditated about making music. Because it's like, okay, what are we going to cook today? I got bread, I got peanut butter, I got salmon. I don't know, we'll put salmon peanut butter on a sandwich.
And that also sounds like a band from Milwaukee.
Right, exactly. Salmon peanut butter sandwich.
Covers five.
Yeah, thank you. No, I haven't seen anyone that does what I do in the vein that I do. I've heard
that's
people
awesome.
Express like, oh, I want to do what you do. Any tips? I'm like, dude, I have no clue. I'm just trying to like every day be present with whatever sense of self I have and put it into creating music with other people and being a service to the community I'm a part of, being a service to other people, and also supporting myself financially.
Do you, I mean, that's also part of it too, is like from the first video that you made, and obviously you don't have to share obvious private things for a lot of people, but what, how would you say your income has changed from the first video that you've made to how you are now here in 2022?
Oh, I make more money. Yeah.
You make good money from having
yeah,
a great day.
Yeah. Well, I also met people that pay more for gigs and things like that because
right.
I have notoriety. People
they,
want to
they,
see
They
me.
Want the clout to represent
yeah.
the gig. And
yeah,
then...
or the venue or just... like people will come out to the things that I see. Also sponsored ads. I do sponsored ads on
right.
on Instagram. And
right.
those pay very well. I have an agent that hooks, well, people contact me and I CC her in and
right.
and then we do I'll make a video or come up with an idea and yeah. And it's interesting because what I was doing before was I was making fun of companies and showing off their product. Or even
right.
local ones. I did a thing with Chelsea Hines, a friend of ours, where we went and got Bank Street Pizza. And I was thinking, look, if we go get pizza from Bank Street Pizza and we make it and we put it in a video and make the video weird and
right.
tag them, then maybe there's a chance that they'll reach out and want to like make us do more or pay us to do more. But it's a slow and gradual process. I mean, the first ones that I did were like Big Easy Bucha and they... I don't even think they paid me. And I got a couple other musicians. It was like, you can have a bunch of free kombucha. And I was like, perfect.
That's great.
Because I'm signaling to them my capabilities.
Right.
And they're giving to me at that time and place what
kombucha.
I'm worth. Kombucha, which is great for my gut.
We're going to talk about that messed up gut
bro,
later.
Oh, God, really? Jesus, it rules my
course,
life.
Of course.
But
that's really interesting. I think, like, of all the people that I know as... much as I know you, like as closely as I know you, you're still like probably the only person who I would describe to others as like, oh, he's the influencer.
Sure.
You know, you have people who claim that, people who try to live that life, but they don't really make the money or have the connections or get an agency or get the representation that you do through it. So when it comes down to, that was the next question. I was going to say like, are you, like, where do you imagine... where do you imagine Have a Great Day in like 5 years?
So I have a live show now that I've been doing once a month at the Ace Hotel.
Oh yeah, you've been diversifying into
yeah.
like live shows.
Yeah,
that's
because
a really
with COVID,
idea.
Like I mean, I'm a live musician by trade. I mean, it worked out and played into what I was doing because of the pandemic. People mm-hmm. were just sitting on their phones. Happy guy, goofy guy, take your mind off of how shit everything felt.
Right, right.
And I'm a live musician and artist and performer by trade. So We have this live show where I interview musicians and we perform and I have skits. I have a sidekick who does a news segment. We give away local like gift cards or
awesome.
Other bands' merchandise that aren't even at the show.
Just, that's a good call.
It's about like fertilizing the culture and the scene, you know?
That's really nice.
And I'm doing one of those for Jazz Fest and I'm going to keep doing it at the Ace. And I think when I come back later this year, we have some plans to perhaps move into like Twitch, but do it live.
Ooh, that's
so
a good
idea.
So there's
an online element, you know, that kind of thing. One day it would be nice to meet some like film writers or even write something myself that's kind of a show type of thing.
Right.
But we'll see. You can spend so much time and energy focusing on things that aren't the next step.
Right.
You know, and that just like puts you in this dream world where you don't actually get anything done and you're talking about this vague thing. And so there's a lot of ideas that are like, that would be nice. But as far as the next year or two goes, the live show, and then I want to up the quality of what I'm doing video wise with these videos.
Like better cameras.
Yeah, better cameras, better soundboard. And I have like studio space now through friends that I can use to document and make just higher quality and put it on YouTube too, because I like Instagram, but the phone thing and then just like always in profile, you know, it's kind of, you know, you don't really capture the musicians. I see some people on YouTube that they have just one guy on a camera, an SLR or whatever it is,
right,
and he's like getting in the shots, focusing on different people, and that's kind of the way I think I'd like to go, even though I like the
always having the wide and then cutting
and
in.
I think about like the placement of people and things like that, and their posture and their how they're poised. I saw that film Roma.
Yeah.
And it totally influenced me in the way that I think about that kind of thing, or like paintings, you know?
Like artistically, in terms of how you film things.
How I get the shots of people and like places, you know?
That's really cool.
With a single frame.
I was gonna ask, like, I would even think that like another motivation for moving your show to YouTube would be that you have a lot of obviously you keep the same control, but I'm guessing longer formats and YouTube monetization.
Totally, yeah.
Because you would keep the full percentage.
And we're kind of brainstorming now. I'll give you you get 1%. You get a point.
Yes.
I knew that was the whole point of this freaking podcast. Gotcha.
You've been monitored. You've been watched in two different countries.
I'm saving the live stream. But really, it's like the live show coming back to the YouTube type thing, where like there's performances, but also interviews and things like that, where it's a longer form thing. Right now, everything's kind of like all over the place and compartmentalized, but who knows? Yeah, that's a possible route that it could go as well. But yeah, and then you can chop up all that content into like, this is the channel for Have a Great Day Performances. Right. This is, you know, yada, yada, yada.
I was going to write this down, but I think it's a perfect moment to just ask it.
Yeah,
so
go for it.
Earlier, because I have to try and keep up with, sometimes you make a few good notes in one stretch and I have to think, I have to note that down. Like another good thing that you said was it's common that, like you just said it, but I'm going to paraphrase it differently. Like you basically said, it's common that we spend too much time thinking about what we could do in terms of like, oh, wouldn't that be nice if you turned it to a show or if you turned it into a traveling bus tour or whatever. But people get so lost on that they stay in this goofy, dreamy place and they don't just focus on what they're actually working and grinding on.
Ooh, first traveling off, bus tour.
You're welcome. I get 2% now. I get 2% now.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm just kidding. But basically, like, I think that I do think you should be a traveling sideshow. But like, it's. I think when you talk about people like that, not only musicians, I'm guessing probably all around the world there are musicians who get caught in this floaty thing of, wouldn't it be nice if we do that album or if we do that live show or I'm going to book that tour or whatever, and they kind of don't focus on like finishing writing the songs.
Right.
Would you say that this mentality is more common or as about the same as you would imagine anywhere in New Orleans? I feel like this is a very New Orleans mentality.
Yeah.
I know that was a huge question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
I mean, there's a number of elements that lead to that sort of thing. Because I felt like before I started making the videos and really just being a little more pragmatic. For, you know, which is a better word for realistic, which is a loaded word, just practical. You look at what's in front of you. Because when I started making the videos, it was like, I'm just going to alleviate my suffering. All right, I wasn't thinking about anything beyond that, because that's contrived. You don't want to be contrived at all. You want to just like, first have something that is expressive. Just like when you made your videos, you were saying, I'm frustrated about learning German. It's so hard. I'm going to make fun of it.
Right.
You know, for me, it was life is suffering and it's so hard sometimes, especially the suffering is so hard sometimes.
Yeah.
But what do I got? I got music and I got friends.
Right.
And I can make fun of anything. So let's start there, I guess. Yeah. I never said these things out loud, but it wasn't until I actually started like seeing, oh, I can get people to do videos with me. Because that took like 6 months. I was just doing stuff by myself for a while.
That's right. A lot of your first videos were alone.
Just by myself. So I was DMs came out on Instagram. I could message anyone in the world.
That was around the time that DMs had,
they didn't have DMs. It was like, look, you can slip into someone's DMs. And I was like, oh, I can ask any of these musicians.
In people my memory, that DMs were like seen. Always
no,
there.
No, they weren't. No. Wow, you had to like find a number of Facebook.
You're right.
So, ooh, nice. I like the pen.
You're right.
That's why you're very smart. But I just start hitting up people, bothering people. Maybe they'd ignored me, but then after a while, there's people that were ghosting or whatever. Who knows? People have busy lives.
Or also, like, I you know this famous story about T-Pain.
Yeah.
Found his requests folder.
Oh, shit. No.
He didn't know that people who he doesn't follow go to requests.
Oh.
And he posted this video that went really viral of him being like, showing the request folder. It was like, I don't know, 1,000 messages. Mm-hmm. And it was like, T-Pain, Rihanna, Drake. Like
he was Kendrick, missing from like, all these people.
All these people wanted to work with him. And he was like, kidding me, man. He just missed it all.
Well, I haven't had those guys yet, but the matter of the fact is those are those people on those accounts a lot of the time.
Right.
Like some accounts have like management, or they might split it with a social media manager to post certain things, but like for example, a guy from here in southern Louisiana, and he's known around the country, Lil Boosie.
Lil Boosie.
He's huge. You know for a fact he is just, it's on his phone. And he probably doesn't have another
guy. He's just the guy doing
it. He's the guy doing it, like raking up controversy and stuff all the time.
It's nice when you, but those when are you engaging, feel that that's a real person. Well,
that's why those accounts do the best.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you might have the clout of being Michael Bolton. Well, I'm Michael Bolton. I said Michael Bolton because Michael Bolton actually has a great account that I think he's pretty active on. But you know what I mean?
He had a resurgence and was like really funny.
Yeah, he's on commercials and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. How am I supposed to live without you, Jordan?
You can't.
I can't. I really can't. I miss you so much. But you can tell, like, and you kind of see it in the numbers too. Like the engagement is a little lower, but you might have a shit ton of followers because you're some famous person.
Right.
But it's because a Kendrick is looking at his Instagram. Yeah. So like Frida... Big Frida. It's like, hey, dude. Big Frida, I'd love to interview you. Oh, yeah, baby, let's do it. Okay.
Boss.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's amazing.
Of course, that took some time to happen. And yet again, that word I use, signaling to people what I can do.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, look, I send them the video.
Is that another thing?
I also send certain artists genres that are similar to what they do, or people that they know, or friends that they know. Or I would see videos that they liked of mine.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? So.
And you, exactly. And you probably have people who like are going to look at your profile, maybe look at the website, think about it, ponder about it, forget about it a bit, come back to you.
Yeah. Or I pop up in because the algorithm works weird and sometimes they might just see one post a month from you, even if your posts are doing well.
Right.
You know? And that might stoke the flames of their interest in what you're doing.
Like speaking of that, the next topic I wanted to cross into. This is the fastest spoken podcast I have ever done, by the way.
I'm a very quick talker.
This is the fastest we've ever done it. Moritz, I hope if you're listening that you were not, I think you're going to still be fine.
I hope you can understand half the things that I'm saying.
Your English is great. You're going to be fine.
Okay, good. We love you, Moritz.
We love you, Moritz. what I wanted to ask was, so this is interesting how we are at this stage, because you have this great Instagram following. And I'm very happy, but, you know, this kind of semi-good, semi-modest, and TikTok following. No. But like we have these two. These are two stickers here.
Right.
What would you say, I think I wrote it down here, right. Like, what would you say are some of the biggest differences between a successful Instagram channel and a successful TikTok channel? Because, or just the channels, the social media platforms in general. Because we were talking about this earlier off mic, that the follower growth on TikTok is... Instagram doesn't have anything like that.
Instagram is a little ruthless.
You have to like mine with a little hammer at this wall and hope eventually that this little stone falls in your pocket.
Sometimes I post things that are freaking incredible and I'd love for everybody to see it and no one sees it. And then I can't post again that day because that next post would probably not
be zero.
Unless it was like me showing like my time at getting a Brazilian wax somewhere or something like that.
Because,
you know, making people like outraged or just showing them some crazy shit is what kind of rules the day sometimes.
Right.
And but that's not what I'm necessarily interested in. I'm a little more pointed and planned with like what I want to present to people as a producer. Because fortunately and unfortunately, social media is this first medium that I use artistically at this point in my career. You know, I plan to record things in a studio and I plan to get more into live shows as I'm doing, but this is how it panned out.
Yeah.
It's a whole new world, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like imagine if you were like, you made it doing live plays and then radio came out.
That's you know an interesting comparison.
That happened. I mean, or there were like, if you were, there were a lot of writers in the early 20th century that moved to Los Angeles. I forget the names of some of them, but some are really famous. Oh, actually, one of them ended up writing The Wizard of Oz, but couldn't write a single other thing. But there had been other writers that went out there and just couldn't figure out how to translate from one medium to the next.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Which is interesting. But I try to just.
But would you consider Instagram and TikTok such different mediums?
They are algorithmically different.
That's true.
Mediums.
That's true. They're algorithmically
different. There is somewhat of a different aesthetic on TikTok too, because of the filters and things like that. And also, there's somewhat of a different culture. There's different demographics on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also posts get way like it's very interesting. Like. The amount of likes you can get versus views I see is like people are much more tappy and interactive on TikTok for some reason. I don't know if that has know if that has to do with the way that the Chinese developers made it or whatever or
canceled.
The way I'm canceled. But I mean that's interesting thing to be pointing out that it's developed by another country that is at odds with our country politically and sometimes like culturally in ways where it's like. I wonder. Okay, like, what is the big picture here? Because that, not to get too controversial, but that company is run by the Chinese Communist Party.
Right.
So it's
and
like,
it is.
Why it is it so easy?
Why is it?
They want all our information. What do they want? You know what I mean? We already have our PSYOPs programs over there.
Of
you
course.
Know? Yeah. No one here is golden. I'm just. It's no very interesting the layers that have to do with these, like the Mark Zuckerberg. We have Mark Zuckerberg in one corner, and then we have the Chinese Communist Party in the other.
Right.
The People's Party, and it's just very. It's very interesting to me why Instagram is so fickle. Twitter's also fickle as hell too.
See, what's your relationship with? As you talk, I'm gonna make another drink. But what's your relationship with Twitter? Because for me, it's always been like the most nothing ever, and the only people that ever seem to be requested to me.
You're gonna walk with the mic. I want to see you walk with the mic and then go make the drink.
The only people that have ever been requested to me are either big celebrities, like, hey, do you want to follow The Rock? And I'm like, no, I don't really. And that's like, do you want to follow Frito-Lay? And like, no, I don't.
Maybe you just haven't gone down the rabbit hole enough. I posted stuff on Twitter a little bit. I it's a lot of people bitching. I'm not into all that.
I've heard that's kind of what it's just become.
It's become a lot of that. And that's also the place where a lot of the canceling happens. So
that's the epicenter of the canceling.
Everyone's right? So right there, you know, and I'm not here to be right.
Are you here to be wrong?
I'm not here to be wrong either. I'm here to have a great day, Jordan.
I'm here to have a great day.
And that's the truth. You know what I mean?
When you were first testing out the original concept of Have a Great Day, were you surprised that Instagram was the one that really took it on so quickly and so well?
It was kind of the only one I was doing. And then I started putting them on Facebook, and Facebook has taken off too. I get a lot of followers on Facebook. I have more views on videos on Facebook than Instagram by far. I had a video that got like a million views.
Crazy. And Facebook is like, it really surprises you.
Well, it's a different demographic. It's older people, and older people have the patience for live music and videos that are longer than 15 seconds and not super cut edited or zoomed or whatever you want to call it.
That's right. Yeah. So what happened with me with my music channel, with Facebook and with Instagram, Well, Instagram, I had a little bit of a growth with the German videos, but the same thing happened again, like with the music channel and now with the German videos, with both Facebook and Instagram, I've hit a wall where like it seems almost impossible to get past the number that I'm just sitting at constantly.
For followers.
Yeah. It's insane to me. Like I have the same work ethic. I put out the same amount of things.
Right.
It's always fresh. It's always consistent. It's like the same day as the TikTok stuff. But for some reason, like when I first started doing the German videos for Instagram, I had this like immediate growth and I was like, wow, this feels amazing. This is really cool. And then it hit this number and it's just been sitting there and I cannot get past it no matter what I do.
Huh.
Like I try to do creative stories or I do like I keep the reels just
Have you come up with any new concepts within the
I think I'll brand? I'll have to try and change the general like balance that I do because it's not
or right. Have you ever taken a break for a while? Like take a month off?
I don't think I've ever taken a full month
sometimes off. That like gives a nice reset because when you don't post for a while and then you post, a lot of people see the post.
Okay, maybe that's what
taking,
I should do. And
taking breaks is nice too, you know. It's good to take a break, guys.
When's the last time you took like a great break for your mental health?
Last summer around my birthday, and I think I'll do the same this year. And when I go to Europe in the summer, I'll probably be kind of light on the posting.
Do you what's the longest you've taken off from doing it since it started doing so well?
A month. Yeah, like a month? I said. Yeah, a month. Yeah, just like I'll go from like my birthday June 21st to like end of July or something.
Do you have videos pre-recorded that drop in that break?
No.
Or just like
silence.
Nothing? Just silence.
Yeah, God forbid we don't post anything.
Dude, I mean,
isn't it weird we're so neurotic or anxious to do that? But yes. It's super important. And like I'm saying, the algorithm actually rewards you.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying for not posting.
Yeah, people miss you.
Ah, that's interesting.
Dude, people have to miss you. Come on, man.
If you always post, they never miss you.
D'Angelo's put out 3 albums in his career. over 25 years.
3 albums in 25 years? 3 albums.
Every time he puts one out, it's like, holy shit, D'Angelo.
I didn't know that.
I mean, it's not by design. I think he has, like, you know, lifestyle issues.
Like they thought he wouldn't make it to another one.
Or I don't know, maybe it's addiction things or money things or whatever it is, but that it just takes him a really long time to put out.
It's music.
Albums. He's an yeah. artist. We shouldn't have artist. To rush. We shouldn't have to be these like conveyor belts of mass production, but yet we are.
You're a conveyor belt of mass production.
Ow.
It didn't hurt.
Big old hand. But yeah.
But I was thinking, like you were talking about the TikTok algorithm. Do you, because I talked with a friend about this a couple of days ago. Since I started using that app as frequently as I do, and maybe some of you noticed the same thing. I'm gonna take the mic away a little bit so I can talk louder to the cameras, but just for this question. I wonder if some of you guys feel the same way that I do about TikTok in the way that you didn't know that you had an interest in a very specific niche. Like, for example, pimple popping videos or puppy dog on the beach or...
Oh, that's not Instagram. Instagram's sort of that way, but TikTok, I know what you mean.
Well, like the question is, TikTok knows really what you want to see, even if you don't know what you want to see. So the question was like, have you... come across an interesting channel, like for example, for me it was cave diving videos.
Huh.
It was videos of people being trapped in this little cave, like where they have to suck in their breath to get through the rock, like
stop.
And it's so claustrophobic and it's so anxiety inducing and it's really, really hard to watch. But then they get out and then they're like, we do this because we love this. Why does anyone else even get up in the morning?
Do you have to put that on TikTok if you love it so much?
What do you mean? The cave
the guys.
Mean, they don't have to do
no.
that.
No, yet they do.
But and it got me hooked on, like, TikTok knew that part of me likes to feel really, really, like, unforgivably tense. And then like, oh, but they made it.
They always make it's like, it. Shoo, yeah. And you know? Then, imagine if one of the videos ended like, and then Jeremy died.
I mean,
he's like, oh no, I'm stuck. I can't breathe.
With the GoPro, like,
babe, post this to TikTok. Babe, his girlfriend's there.
Babe. Yeah. What?
What? Oh no, he's dead. Cut videos. Cut.
Clown. Wait, it's one of those like the the Grizzly Man documentary.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where there's no visuals, but just audio. Like, Kyle, Kyle. Just for like 10 minutes.
Then just like,
Kyle.
Kyle?
It's not funny.
How many ways can she say Kyle?
Kyle!
Anyway, no. So on Instagram, I don't really go down the rabbit holes of like puppy on beach TikTok because I know there's...
Well, no, but that's just like one lane.
There's like subreddits on TikTok, so to speak, where it's like niche. Instagram, it's like, if I watch enough cute puppy videos, maybe they'll show me some other cute stuff. Some account, it's more so accounts. Like, you know what accounts
you go
to.
But like, did TikTok show you something you didn't know you would love, and then you ended up following it?
I don't spend that much time on TikTok. I post. Maybe that's why my numbers aren't as high. I know. On Instagram,
no, I don't know.
Let me give a shout out to a couple accounts. Nature is Metal.
Nature is Metal.
That's account. Have you heard this? Seen this one?
Yeah, that's a great
it's
account.
It's crazy. It's just like animals eating each other and all kinds of crazy shit. And then look at this fucking street, which is one from here in New Orleans, where you see the craziest street.
It's
like infrastructure. No. Instagram. Look at this fucking street. Instagram. Look it up. It's just like the most hilarious, and especially when you live here.
Is it the fucking street? No, that's zero.
No, look at this fucking. Yeah, there we go. It's sidewalk, dude. He has a good amount of followers too. It's just like,
oh, look at this fucking street.
Okay. Yeah.
It's Sidewalk Sunday. Look at this fucking sidewalk.
Click on the account, dude. You gotta scroll through.
This is crazy, dude.
Shout out to look at this fucking street. We love you. I think a lot of people in New Orleans love it.
Not another New Orleans pothole account documenting the cracked and sinking streets of the Crescent City. Send submissions via.
So it's submission. It's a community project.
Look at that, man. Oh my god.
There's no sound on it, I guess.
Dude, this fire, for those who can't see it, this fire hydrant is exploding.
That's on Poydras. Over Poydras. It's downtown.
Wow, that's really bad.
Yeah,
keep going. One that was about to pop on Bourbon yesterday.
People dressing up the pothole hazards.
That's kind of cool. That's very New Orleans.
Yeah.
To decorate
we have a good sense of humor about our infrastructure.
Oh my god.
A crane getting stuck in a pothole. We love that.
See what the description says when it loads. He is the opposite of risen. Glendale and Lime in Metairie.
It's Easter. That's in Metairie. Wow.
That's in Easter?
Wow, that's a mess. That looks like we're in like some country in Latin America.
So we're seeing like a standard construction crane has fallen over into a ditch. basically right in front of someone's house in Metairie. And the road looks just
Metairie is a suburb of New Orleans too, which has typically like better land to build roads on.
Someone's tires in the no way.
Yeah, fits perfect.
Fits like a glove. 3100 block domain.
Anyway,
love that
so
they
the,
put like the
those are some accounts that I really like. There's also a guy here in New Orleans, Dr. Daddy's Who Dat Crime Wave Syndicate.
Wow,
it's too much. I'll send you. After the show, I'll send it to you, but. New Orleans has some amazing like accounts that are New Orleans and just New Orleans living for locals, quote unquote, accounts, which I love a lot.
How many Have a Great Day videos have you done now?
It depends because I got into you mean do you mean just the performances with musicians or just,
when you started doing it with people? Yeah.
Because I do other ones that are like pointing real type stuff, but with words and stuff, but or just talking straight to the camera with musicians. Probably over 500.
That's amazing.
500, 600 at this point. There's friends of the show that come back on, and I've done multiple videos with.
Yeah, I mean, we've done three, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, we did Blackbird. We did a promo for my most recent album, the one
that
of
was
Resume.
In Germany, wasn't it?
That was in Germany.
That was a while ago. And then we did one with Noah, Jenna.
That's right. We did that one. And we did, actually, we did more. We did the Paul Simon one. Met my old lover.
Oh, yeah. What?
We did the acapella
app. Yeah, because you oh, yeah, that was acapella, my bad.
We did
yeah.
like four or five.
I did one in Munich, though. That was great. I'll do one again. I met Pierce Brosnan. So this is another thing. Through these videos, I met a very good friend, who is now a very good friend, Ben Jaffe, who's the director of Preservation Hall. We have the same freaking smile. It's hilarious.
Look at this guy.
I know. 007, baby. But I met Ben Jaffe through it. He's a fan of the videos. And we just started hanging out. And it turned into, our relationship has blossomed into the point where, like, I've made an album with Charlie Gabriel from Preservation Hall. I play at Preservation Hall here in New Orleans every Wednesday. I'm playing on the 60th anniversary show. I meet all kinds
amazing.
Cool, talented people through being a part of this incredible organization here in New Orleans. And yeah,
was he just walking through?
No, he came. I mean, like celebrities are
for those
great
who want to
actors.
See it. For those who want to see it, go to Instagram.com/Joshua Starkman.
Great actors, musicians, artists. Great artists come through Preservation Hall.
There's a photo of Josh here with the very good-looking older Pierce Brosnan.
He's Irish. I thought he was British.
He's Irish.
Yeah, he's Irish. You're just used to him talking in a British accent because 007. But
so wait, and did the Irish guy faked a clean British accent?
Yeah.
For 007.
Stellar, yeah.
And for actually for his entire career.
Yeah. I wonder if he might have been raised in England. Anyway, so yeah, it's turned into like I've increased my network of people that I know. Yeah, that's Callie. I co-wrote a lot of her first EP.
That's cool. Yeah.
Thelia is the name of the project.
Like, so for those who already do follow this channel, I've had... Oh, you have another Pierce Brosnan. That's the same.
Yeah, same picture. I used it.
So I get a lot of people's... because they know that I know you, that we're friends, and they tell me sometimes like, oh, have you seen this video? Or like... I love this girl who comes back on. What's her name? This is one that repeats so much that I know that's who they're talking about.
It's because she looks German.
It's probably because she looks a little German.
She's actually from Minnesota and she's Scandinavian.
Is she in this band called Peanut Butter Salmon Sandwich?
No. No, Thelia is the project. Theila. And I'm playing guitar on a number of the tracks on her EP, and you can check it out on all streaming services.
This one looks like Olivia Rodrigo here. I wouldn't be
surprised. She's young,
was.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I do sort of like scouting in the city and... in the city online of like who's here and who's singing and who's like doing artist stuff or musician stuff. And I just hit them up and I see if they want to make a video. Cause in a way these are people that I'd love to continue working with in whatever facet.
So you kind of give them a bit of a break, like, hey, this is going to get X amount of views most likely.
Oh yeah. People want to like, if the video does well,
I know you get hit up. Yeah. But, like you find people and say, I want to promote you a little bit.
If the video does well, then they'll get like a couple hundred followers or something.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then also like people around town recognize them. They go out to their gigs or they're like, I found out about like Gabrielle Cavassa here. Like I've made a bunch of her on the right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I've made a bunch of videos with her and a lot of people recognize her around town. She tells me like, hey, like, people were saying, oh, you're that person from those videos. I love you. You're amazing. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah. But I really, you know, I'm not a big fan of pride, but it's good to be proud of some things. And I'm proud that I've been able to bring a spotlight to people that I've always really thought highly of artistically. And I've been able to give them, you know, a spotlight.
I wanted to ask, like, since this channel has gotten so successful and as you've like migrated into this position where you not only are asking to work with people like Tank and the Bangas and they say yes,
uh-huh.
but you're also in the position of looking at smaller artists and saying, hey, how about we work together and see, you know,
yeah,
I can help you grow a little bit too. Do you have any like funny live on the street, a celebrity? No, I hate to use that word for anybody, but like this like celebrity moment where, you know, I know that you say you get recognized. Is there something where someone like was like, oh, have a great day?
Or, all the time.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Do you have a couple interactions you want to share?
Yeah. Any in particular that are weird or crazy? Not really. Sometimes like people, as they're driving by, say, have a great day.
Like,
have a great day. Yeah. And I don't know who it is.
That's cool though.
Yeah. Or,
You're having the worst day ever. You're like, no, you have a
I mean, I still have kind of shit days because my gut mostly,
sure.
Which we'll talk about. Eventually.
Anxiety. He's talking
and
about
my
anxiety.
I mean, I get anxiety sometimes.
I got a weak gut.
It's all good. but yeah, I mean, I handle it all with grace. Even if I'm feeling sort of like not very sociable, I am very grateful and thankful for people when they show their love for what I'm doing. Especially if they're not like wasted.
You're like, oh, people are engaged.
Especially if they're not like wasted. Because sometimes that happens. And like, you know, if someone's drunk, they just keep talking to you and talking to you and talking to you. It's like, okay. Like,
dude, you want to hear.
We can talk about something else. I'm done hearing about how much you love me.
Like, okay, so you did this video with Bank and the Tangas. And you were so funny.
Yeah, right in the head. Yeah, no, I don't. Not too much. No, that people don't get too abrasive. So.
Well, just wait and see.
I still have a long
life
to live.
Wait till you cross 100K and it'll probably happen.
Damn it. We'll see.
No, but you want to hear a crazy story. Like, so I know probably that the people who listen to this show know because I talk about it enough, but maybe you guys don't know. I have this radio show that I do in Germany every Sunday. It's called American Sunday. It's on Ego FM, and it's the first and only English program on that station. And I love that job, and I'm very thankful to have that. And the cool thing is, out of all the things I do, it's probably the platform with the most listeners. So it's really been a great, you know, way to like be very personal to a lot of strangers.
It's broadcast in Bavaria, across all Bavaria.
Like it's broadcast from three major cities, but the whole of Bavaria can access it. And if you go online, you can access it anywhere.
Sure, yeah.
So it's a really, 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 really cool station to be a part
People
of.
People write you?
Yeah.
Call you?
Yes.
Germans are very straightforward even when they love you.
Yes,
it's that's like true. They can still be kind of harsh when they love you, right?
Dude, one time, this isn't the story I wanted to tell just yet, but there was one time where I did a show. So every Sunday is a theme, and I do I do like 17 segments on a theme plus the music in the middle. And one show's theme was Germans gonna germ. Like, Germans got a germ. Oh, got a germ. And it was just making fun of, like, German behaviors that are, like, sometimes to me a little annoying or a little funny or just quirky, something different. And I did this Germans got a germ theme. And one of the segments was about German cyclists.
Uh-huh.
And, like, long story short, I did the bit where I made fun of them, and I didn't have my driver's license yet. And I said, I can't wait until I get my German driver's license just so I can run you guys over. Like, just – and it was just a bit, you know? But I did it.
It's violent, Jordan.
Dude, I got a letter. I got an email to the station and to me personally. It was in German, so it was, like, really aggressive. I had to translate it to see everything he was saying.
In caps?
Dude, it was intense.
Exclamation marks.
He was like, that is – that's threatening the cycling community. You're hoping that we die, that we get murdered. I'm contacting the station. I hope you get fired. I'm gonna try and. He was really, 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 really upset about me saying that, and so I called my boss and I was like, "Hey man, I got this email about the cyclist." He's like, "Oh, I saw it." I was like, "I'm really sorry. It was just a joke. I didn't know anyone would take it that seriously." And he goes, "Oh, I heard the show. I thought it was funny." I was like, yes!
But Germans got a germ.
Germans got a germ, dude. Germans they got a germ.
In the United States, I'm sure some people would bitch about that, too.
But the story... Yeah, that's true. The story I was going to tell was, just today, Monday, I had a show yesterday that came on. It was called Read the Signs. Mm-hmm. And it was about all different kinds of sign reading, like listening to your body, which is kind of what you're doing now, social cues, you know, literally... reading like license plates in the South, funny things they say, like all these things around this theme. And one of the things I was talking about was how ever since like 9 years ago in college, whenever I get very mentally stressed or when my body is literally crumbling apart, like I need to rest and heal and get medicine and sleep, when I'm at that peak of like falling apart, I develop humongous swelling, like swelts, like
hives,
swelling welts, is it
welts? Welts, yeah,
like golf ball size, like
just fluid swellings. Or something. It's like hard.
I'll get like, it's not hard, but it's extremely itchy and red and huge.
Oh.
And dude, my lips will swell up, and my nose, my eyes, my temple will swell up. And I just talked about it passing because usually it just goes away.
Uh-huh.
Like even a few weeks ago at my brother's place, I was having a great day. I was having a great day.
Thank you.
And it just swelled up, and then after like an hour it went away, and I didn't know what it was. I was like, oh, it's one of those things. It gets very numb and then very itchy, and then it goes away. And I talked about it on the show in this like 90-second segment, and this morning I got an email from a doctor at, I think it's called, I just want to make sure I get the hospital right,
in Germany.
Yeah, dude, it's oh, there it is. There it is. Oh, Charité. Dude, so this doctor, he says, I happened to listen to the radio show American Sunday, and Jordan described some of his medical problems. When I listened to it, I immediately thought of a diagnosis. Please forward him my contact to give him advice. Okay. And he's a doctor at the Charité Medical University in Berlin, which is the most prestigious...
he's a doctor there.
It's the most prestigious medical university in Germany.
What? Americans are not like that. They would not. A doctor wouldn't be like, hey, I'm one of the top doctors in my field.
Right.
I was just listening to your show.
It'd be like, sounds like you got hives, bro.
You need to come in so I can make you pay a lot of money.
Dude.
That's the United States.
I wrote him back today and I was like, thank you so much.
He thinks he knows what it is.
He thinks he knows what it is. We're going to have a call when I'm back next week. And he's going to tell me what he might think it is. It's super interesting. I hope he'll be like, I'm some medical marvel.
Oh, this has an hour limit.
Look yeah. Yeah, I did a show at the beginning of the pandemic and I had to keep restarting it.
Ah, okay. What do I do?
Funny that you haven't gone that long before. I figured you've done a lot of those.
No, I don't do a lot of live shows.
Oh, that makes sense.
I wish I could save it, though.
You can't save it on the gram?
No.
Oh, okay.
Live archive. Oh, okay. It's in the archive. Okay.
Let's see.
It'll be in my archive for 30 days. I can probably download it from there. Actually, we can go here and then...
Yo, we got two people on right now.
We have like, dude, we have like consistently 10 to 20 people up in here.
All right. Hi,
guys. Oh, is that you right there?
Yeah, sorry. I'm just saving it.
Does anybody who's on right now have a question for me or Josh? We're going to take just a little moment. If you want to send some likes or if you want to share the live or just say hello, we will say hello back to you.
He's just creeping on us. And that's nice, too.
You guys can also just chill out if you're just in bed and you want to just see our kind faces. Out. If you passed out, if this is just on in the corner as you drunkenly are sleeping, that's okay.
Or if you're and we love you. Love.
Are you guys making love right now with our voices in the background? No way.
Can't make love any other way.
You bad dogs.
Bad naughty
dogs.
Well, I hope you procreate.
I really hope. I hope all of you procreate.
I hope all of you make a baby right now.
When you want. When you want.
When you want.
When you want.
When you want.
You know, it doesn't have to be right now.
It's up to you. It's not my call. I'm just having a great day.
So just as a reminder, because we've been doing this for about an hour now, for those just joining in, if you've not seen anything so far, whatever, this is for my podcast. I'm Jordan Prince. This is for my podcast.
I'm Joshua Starkman. Have a great day, everybody.
Have a great day. This is for my podcast, Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. You can listen to this show on all streaming platforms. Everywhere you get podcasts, you can hear this show, Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Josh's episode, the one that we're doing now live, comes out Thursday. So make sure you subscribe and check it out.
German efficiency.
Boom.
Because I would do something like this and it would be like, Pats, let's get it out by next month.
You guys put so much more into it. It's a video thing.
Yeah, but you know. But good job.
Just the audio alone will be out Thursday.
Yeah. You know, Moritz will listen through it once.
Moritz will listen to it once. Yeah.
We love you, Moritz.
Thanks, Moritz. I love you. Miss you.
Don't take this out. It's a kisses.
Right, let's just do it for a second.
It's little kisses for Moritz. Oh, yeah, Moritz. Yes.
He's literally at his office right now with his wife in front of him like, I can never tell her what I've heard.
So what else do you have to ask me, man?
I was going
to
ask if there was anything else here. Yeah, I don't have to keep you too much longer. Oh.
No, it's fine.
What was the thing about the egg sex toy? Oh, no, wait. And we have your diet. That's the last two things.
Oh, okay. So the last things on the docket to talk about are egg sex toys and,
diet.
And my diet. Egg sex toys are, I thought it was an interesting phenomena where there's these vibrating eggs that you can put in orifices, a butthole, a vagina, your mouth.
Cool.
Those are about the only ones I think this egg fits, and there's a remote that controls the vibration. Mm-hmm. So there's these videos you can watch online of man with woman, man with man, woman with man, whatever. Everyone's having fun. But the best part about these videos is that it's all candid and like off guard.
When
the partner with the remote is using the remote to make the egg go.
Yeah.
It's just really funny. And I thought that was about it.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah. I think that was a cool idea. You want to try it?
You have one?
I mean, you're here for a couple more days. I could order one on Amazon. Or we could go down to Bourbon Street to the sex shop.
I was going
to
say they probably have one at Bourbon.
Oh, also I have a sex book.
Oh, yeah.
An erotic fiction I'd like to read from, if that's possible.
You can. Let's just say quickly, you had COVID and your gut is bad. And now you're doing
the
open.
Show is like off the rails now. Yeah. You said it. It's all, yeah. I'm the guy with the bad gut. No. So I got COVID and it like triggered this massive, crazy like breakdown in my gut, as I'm finding out these past months, because I was on this journey of figuring out what the hell it was.
Right.
I went to doctors. They didn't know what it was. I don't have any allergies of anything. And apparently I have leaky gut. So it's just like,
I never even heard of that before.
Yeah. Well, the lining of the intestine is permeable. So nutrients and food and things like that leaks all over the place. And
oh my God.
It affects your systems. It gets into your bloodstream and it affects your body in a negative way.
Wow.
Yeah. And let me see. Yeah, bacteria and toxins that aren't digested or dealt with leak into other parts. So like,
makes you really sick then.
Yeah, inflammation in my throat and my sinuses, and just like I was eating and drinking whatever, and I've lived here for 10 years eating and drinking whatever, and now I'm doing the Whole 30 diet.
Okay, so doing the Whole 30 to try and figure out what might be helping or
vegetables,
hurting.
fruits and meat, basically, and then you bring it back in after other things back in after a month, but no grains, no legumes, peanuts, any of that.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm just
okay.
I'm not messing around anymore, Jordan. No alcohol.
Hey, nothing.
Caffeine, I'm even cutting out.
He's not messing around anymore.
I'm not messing around. I need to feel good to have a great day. And that's true. I hope everyone understands that as well.
That's true. I can't believe you got off caffeine. That seems so hard to do.
I did it today. Dude. We'll see how long it lasts.
Good luck, man. Yeah. That's hard. Yeah. That's really hard. It's like when I quit nicotine.
Oh, yeah.
It's very hard.
Oh, did you go to the little baby dick?
I'm done.
I'm
done with that.
Oh, you don't even have the baby dicks anymore.
I'm done with nicotine.
Yeah, wow.
Dumb smoking. The robot dick. In any format at all.
I can't believe I called an e-cigarette a baby dick. I'm sorry.
Dude, you should hear my friend Tim.
Excuse me.
He always called it the robot dick and said, you look so lame when you do that. And I was like,
whoa.
I know. And he would still smoke cigarettes. It wasn't like he was clean.
He'd be like, you look fucking lame when you do that. Tim?
Yeah.
Sweetheart Tim would do that?
I mean, we're really close. We're really close. Oh, wow. You know? He would make fun of me for it, which was, I think he was like, either go all the way or just quit, you know?
Right, right. It was like humor, but also telling you what he thought.
Yeah, of course.
I love that. Tim's that's amazing. A good friend does that.
Okay, so Josh, to say farewell, I want to say first off, for those who have stuck around and those who have hung out, thank you so much for being on the live today. I know the podcast was a little different than usual. We had... we're kind of all over the place, but it's just really, really fun to be here with Josh. That's kind of how his brain works.
Love you, baby.
Josh is going to send us off here with a little passage from a book, and I'll give it to him in a minute. Just want to say, if you enjoyed the show today, please go to Instagram and follow Josh at Joshua Starkman, same on TikTok. For those who are from him enjoying this show, please go to my TikTok at Jordan Prince Official.
Yeah.
Give us a follow, and thank you so much for listening. This should be on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you want to listen. Just give it a share, subscribe, comment, share it to the world. Thank you so much. And Josh, why don't you send us home?
I hope this makes the edit. This is a selection from Dolores Fossen, Josh. The name of the book is Josh. Like my name. It took Josh several seconds to repeat the bad stuff that had gone on between them. Several more seconds to drill it into his brain that while he did forgive her, crossing the line with her now could be dangerous. Did that stop him? Nope. With the same part of him yelling for him to stop, he reached out, sliding his hand right into that robe, and he found exactly what his body was looking for. A warm, soft, naked woman who could burn him to ash. Even though she'd been the one to stop him from leaving the room, JC suddenly got that deer caught in the headlights look. You're sure about this? At least that was what Josh thought she said.
What else did he think that she said?
There's more. He couldn't be certain because he kissed her before she finished talking. That's a little... Okay, bro. Still, he caught the gist of what she meant. Like him, JC knew the timing for this sucked. And not just the timing. Everything about this was wrong, wrong, wrong. That didn't stop him either. He just kept kissing her. Kept sliding his hand deeper into that robe until he was cupping her breast. He swiped his thumb over her nipple and got a very good reaction. Or bad, depending on perspective.
What?
From his insane body's perspective, it was the right reaction. She moaned, that little silky sound of pleasure, and she melted against him. She tasted sweet, like the sugary donut, but it was mixed with something else, something dark and forbidden. Which she was. Dark and forbidden.
She was dark and forbidden?
It just is which she was. But that only made the kiss hotter. It only made him want her more. He shoved open the robe. He'd been right about the naked part. Not a stitch of clothes. And he broke the kiss just long enough to look at her. Do you want me to skip ahead? There's like it gets really dirty. Oh, wait. No. It's still good. You want me to keep going?
How much longer do you think it is? Like three or four pages.
You're gonna read
the last 48 pages.
I mean,
do you have literally a climax you're trying to reach here?
Yeah, I mean, it gets to the point where basically, like, okay, yeah. JC kissed him, pulling him right back to her. There's no reason to stop because of the baby. It's okay for pregnant women to have sex, and that's really when I learned that. You know, from this book.
Yeah, it's educational. Yeah, sounds like
I'm dumb. There when is out. Because there were only two things that could have stopped him from jumping off this cliff. JC saying no, or her telling him she couldn't continue because of the baby.
They're literally on a cliff?
but you wish. But clearly, she didn't want an out either. And I'll leave you there. Mm. You'll have to buy the book, Dolores Fawson, Josh.
What a cliffhanger, man! I guess we'll have to have you on for a part two.
Thank you.
Eventually,
you know what's crazy? Actually, during the pandemic, like 3 months in, on Instagram Live, I read from these novels.
That's amazing.
Like sick as fuck, because I was still sick from COVID.
Right.
Because I find these in the little libraries around my neighborhood.
And you weren't wearing gym shorts. You were wearing like corduroy overalls.
Yes.
You were packing everything nice and tight.
Yes, I taped everything in there.
And then JC swiped his thumb across her nipple.
This pandemic's so lonely.
Oh my god, guys, thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Josh, it's been a pleasure, man.
We love you.
I love you, dude, and I'm gonna bring you back on sooner than we
when
think.
I come to Munich.
Yes, when you come to Munich, absolutely. We'll go to my studio.
Hell yeah. Oh, a studio.
Yeah, the station. Ooh. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Bye bye.
Have a great day. Arvita Sane.